The text then that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our gospel lesson for today, from Mark chapter 12, and particularly this verse, where Jesus says, "For they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put everything she has, all her life." The grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This story that we hear this morning, often called the widow's mite, occurred on the Tuesday of Holy Week. Indeed, Jesus sat down on that day in what would be one of his last visits to that holy place, the temple. We're told that as he sat down, he watched as people placed their offerings into the trumpet-shaped receptacles located throughout the temple for such a purpose. First into his view came a multitude of those who had much, their long robes floating towards the place where they would place their offerings. And when they arrived, they placed their large amounts there into those receptacles, likely making sure that each coin clanged on the side of the receptacle as it was placed in. Slowly but surely, the rich went away and a lowly widow appeared, a lowly widow who surely her meager means were evident even in her dress as she approached to make her offering. Her hand reached in and grabbed two small copper coins that she carried with her. She placed them in the treasury, calling no attention to herself at all. And yet, attention was paid to her, for Jesus was paying attention. In fact, Jesus was so amazed by what this woman had done that he called over his disciples to his side and drew their attention to her gift as well. Well, look to anyone else that was there that day as if this woman had given very little and many others had given so much. Jesus said that that simply was not the case. He said that things could not be discerned by simply counting the number of coins that clanged into the receptacles those days. For the rich had given much, but they still had much more. That lowly widow had given what the original Greek says, all of her life, or all of her livelihood, the last two coins she had left. So Jesus says that in his eyes, that widow had given more than all the others. So what exactly was the point that Jesus was seeking to make with his disciples? Why was it that he called them over to look at this widow's gift? And lastly, how does that apply to those of us that live today? It's possible Jesus' point was simply one of giving and stewardship. It's possible that he was simply trying to teach his disciples that to give sacrificially is the way of God's Spirit-led people. Whenever we look at a text, we do well, though, if we would look at what is around it, the context in which Jesus spoke the words. If we look at the context of the telling of this story of the widow's mite, we see that Jesus just shortly before had begun to cleanse the temple with his righteous anger. So it's possible that his point here was not just to point out the widow's offering, but also to draw attention to another atrocity that was happening in the temple. This time that the temple had simply became a place for the rich to show off, to throw in their big offerings, and to be loved by all. But then again, we must remember even a larger context. As I said, this event happened on Tuesday of Holy Week, as best we can determine. And so, indeed, as becoming more and more focused all the time on his eventual end, on going to the cross for you and me. And so perhaps as he looked at this lowly widow, this widow who didn't look like anything special, giving all of her life, perhaps he saw in that widow a picture of himself. Perhaps he saw a foreshadowing of what he would do later that week, when he would give all of his life in a sacrificial offering to God. But I suppose, as is often the case, maybe the answer is not one of these three options, but a bit of all of them. But you see, this whole section in Mark seems to be about the end of the temple serving as the prime place where God's people would gather for worship. Indeed, in this section of Scripture, we learn that no longer would the temple be the center, but now Jesus himself would be the center of God's people. Yes, he would be the center, for he was the ultimate sacrifice. No longer were all the sacrifices of the temple necessary, for they simply pointed forward to the final offering that Jesus would offer on the cross. And no one can truly speak well of Jesus' life unless we speak of the way that he sacrificially gave everything. And therefore, the life of his people, that the scriptures say have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them, should also be one of sacrificial giving. So these three strands sort of tie into one. Sacrificial giving, you see, is not just some principle to follow because some book on stewardship suggested, or because some clergy member says it should be so. No, sacrificial giving is at the heart of what the temple itself was meant to be about. It is at the heart of who Jesus is. And it is what you and I have been made to be. You see, the temple was to be that place where people presented not only the obvious sacrifices of grain and of livestock, but it was ultimately to be the place where God's people offered themselves, their whole lives, before the living God. Jesus, however, didn't offer himself in the temple. Even though he was the ultimate sacrifice, the temple was not the place where he would be offered. No, instead, Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross. There on the cross, he showed what all those sacrifices that had happened in the temple were really all leading up to. Yes, on that Tuesday, Jesus watched as a widow humbly gave all her life into those treasuries that sat around the temple. But later that week, Jesus would no longer be the one watching, but he instead would be the one dying. Jesus would give his whole life, not in some symbolic form of gold and silver, but with his precious and innocent blood. Indeed, he gave his whole life, commending that very life into his Father's care, right before he breathed his last. And since Jesus has given up his very life for us, we, as God's people, are blessed beyond all comparison. He poured out his life unto death, and because of that, we have our death replaced with his life. As the life of Christ is something that he gives freely to us, both as a present possession to live with each day, and also the hope of a future day when we will live with Jesus forever. Yes, indeed, we have everything that Jesus gave up. You and I, so to speak, are the very receptacles into which Jesus poured his life into. Yes, he continues to pour that life into us through his word and at the font and at the altar. And that we are filled up with God's own precious Son and his life. That truth means that we are to be transformed. And not only are we to be transformed, but we are being transformed by the very process of receiving that life. We are to be turned daily into looking more and more like our Lord Jesus, into being transformed into his image. And if we are being formed into his image, then we should be more and more all the time more sacrificial in our giving. You see, being a sacrificial giver is not just about our money, but it is about our money. You see, if we are giving in a way that looks impressive to others, but truly has no effect on our lives, then we should stop and consider if we simply look like the rich that were casting their leftovers into the receptacles in the temple. You see, our money is to be given back to God's work in a way that truly invests our very livelihood in it. Does your giving affect your lifestyle? Could anyone take a look at your budget and suggest that the amount given to God's work is truly sacrificial? That it's obvious that this has required other budget items to be reduced or eliminated? We must look at those questions when it comes to our giving of money. But as I said, sacrificial giving goes far beyond what we put in the plate on Sunday morning or what we send to a missionary who is going overseas. No, sacrificial giving is about everything we do with our time and our talents and our treasures. We are to invest everything that God has given us into his work, and we are to do so in a sacrificial way. The time that we invest in kingdom work necessarily should impinge upon other activities that we might want to do. But how often does going to church or doing other church things become something that we might do when there's nothing else going on? Oh, we'll be there if there's no games to watch, no family events to attend, no friends to hang out with the night before. Yes, many times, even with our time, we do not sacrificially give that to our Lord. What about our talents? Are you and I people that take the talents that God has given to us and use them again in a sacrificial way for his kingdom? Or is it all too often that we just use those talents at church that will get us appreciated and recognized by others? Are there talents that are not so flashy that perhaps we should be using right here in this place? Or offer to other people that are doing kingdom work in order that the kingdom of God might indeed grow among us. You see, that poor widow gave her whole livelihood, her whole life, in the form of 2 copper coins. Those 2 copper coins which she dropped into the temple treasury. And if that example wasn't good enough for us, Jesus would give us one that was far better just days later. Yes, Jesus gave his whole life upon that cross outside of Jerusalem. And you and I now, as the recipients of the life that God has given, indeed are being made into people who are ready to give our whole life to God in service to our neighbors. You see, that widow gave her whole life. Jesus himself gave his whole life. And we are to give our whole lives as well. Today, as we gather and ponder this text set before us, no doubt we will recognize that we more than once have not been sacrificial in our giving of our time, our talents, or our treasure. We will recognize that at times we have not even been molded into the image of that widow in the temple, let alone being molded into the image of the perfect giver, Jesus. And when we recognize that is true, we should also recognize then that we need to go to that place where God forgives such sin as that. But thanks be to God, no longer do we have to find the temple to go there to receive forgiveness. Actually, you and I need go nowhere else than where we already are today. For indeed, Jesus is where God's people gather, and Jesus has promised to be in his word, at the font, and at the altar. Yes, here today, Jesus pours his life into you. He sacrificially pours his life right into the heart of who you are. And as he pours that life into us, we receive both forgiveness for our past sins and transformation for our future good works. Yes, the widow gave all her life, and that captured the attention of Jesus. Several days later, Jesus gave all of his life, and that has captured our attention time and time again. You and I now have been made into people that are ready to give our whole lives in service to the world. May indeed our service to the world capture the attention of that world so intently that we might be able then to direct them to the one whom we model, to Jesus himself, the one whom not only we model, but we worship, for he gave his very life for us. You see, all of our life is his. There is not one thing we have that is not God's. No, every last thing is his. Ours is simply to give as we have received. For as the hymn we sang today put it, at last he brought his offering and laid it on a tree. There gave himself, his life, his love for all humanity. Lord, help us all with you to yield whatever love demands and freely give as you have given, with open hearts and hands. Amen.